This is KFIZ Radio and First Presbyterian Church, located at 1225 4th Street here in Fonterra. Thank you for joining us this morning in prayer and devotion.
Due to technical difficulties during our outdoor worship service, the following is from our Pentecost Sunday worship service, which set the foundation for our summer worship series. The peace of Pentecost continues to be important as we look forward to our exciting fall worship series.
The first reading today comes from the Old Testament book of Psalms, specifically Psalm 104 and verses 24 through 34. Lord, you have done so many things. You made them all so wisely. The earth is full of your creations. And then there's the sea, wide and deep, with its countless creatures, living things, both small and large. There go the ships on it, and the Leviathan which you made plays in it. All your creatures wait for you to give them their food on time. When you give to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are filled completely full. But when you hide your face, they are terrified. When you take away their breath, they die and return to dust. When you let loose your breath, they are created, and you make the surface of the ground brand new again. Let the Lord's glory last forever. Let the Lord rejoice in all that he has made. He has only to look at the earth, and it shakes. God just touches the mountains, and they erupt in smoke. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I am alive. Let my praise be pleasing to him. I'm rejoicing in the Lord. But let my whole being bless the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Our gospel reading prescribed to us today on this Pentecost Sunday comes from John's Gospel, the 14th chapter, verses 8 to 27. This is that final discourse, that final night that Jesus was with his disciples in that upper room, shared that holy meal before he went out, was captured, condemned, crucified. Listen for the word of the Lord. Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father. That will be enough for us." Jesus replied, "Don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been with you all this time? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I have spoken to you, I don't speak on my own. The Father who dwells in me does his works. Trust me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on account of the works themselves. I assure you that whoever believes in me will do the works that I do. They will do even greater works than these because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask for in my name so that the Father can be glorified in the Son. When you ask me for anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. I will ask the Father, and he will send another companion who will be with you forever. This companion is the Spirit of truth, whom the world can't receive because it neither sees him nor recognizes him. You know him because he lives with you and will be with you. I won't leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Soon the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live too. On that day you will know that I am in my Father, you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them loves me. Whoever loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them." Judas, not Judas Iscariot, asked, "Lord, Why are you about to reveal yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered, Whoever loves me will keep my word. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Whoever doesn't love me doesn't keep my words. The word that you hear isn't mine. It is the word of the Father who sent me. I have spoken these things to you while I am with you. The companion, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I told you. Peace I leave you. My peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives. Don't be troubled or afraid. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
How do you find out what the weather is every day? Sometimes when, I have it set up for my alarm. When my alarm clock goes off, it tells me what the weather is for today. So it'll tell me the temperature and what the weather is. Although lately she's been telling me it's been going to rain every day and it never rains. But sometimes I know if it's windy out before the alarm goes off or at all. How do you think I know that? Because I can hear it. Sometimes I can hear it moving around. Sometimes I can hear it moving some of the branches around my trees. Sometimes I can look outside and I see the trees moving. So I know it's windy. Yeah. But sometimes, how do we know it's windy? So can you ever feel the wind? Yeah. Like if you blow on your hand, you can feel it, right? And if you look outside, you can see it moving things and you can hear it doing things. But can you see wind? No, you can't, can you? Well, today is the day that we celebrate what's called Pentecost. That's the day that the Holy Spirit came as a gift from God to the disciples and to us. And it came like a rushing wind. So I think they heard it. And they probably could feel it, right? Well, it kind of reminds me about the Holy Spirit. Now, how do we know the Holy Spirit's there? Can we see it? No. But sometimes you can hear it talking in your heart, talking to us. And we can see it when we are watching people who are doing God's work in the world. And we can hear it when we're listening for God's voice, right? So I have something up on the picture today. Can you see what's in the picture? What is that? A kite. Have you ever flown a kite before? So what do you need to do to make it? What do you need to make a kite work? Wind. Can you just turn on the wind? Turn it on and no, it doesn't work that way, does it? But no matter what beautifulness of a kite is, how pretty it is, or how aerodynamic it is, if you don't have wind, it doesn't do all it's supposed to do. It was created to make more, do more, but it needs the wind. We need to connect to the Holy Spirit. We need to be like that. So when we are making sure that we're connecting, and that we are connecting to God, that's when we can be aware of the Holy Spirit's work with us. And you know what? Sometimes, because I have kites in the other room for us to make today, break. But today, it's supposed to be a thunderstorm. At least that's what my alarm clock told me today. So today is supposed to be a thunderstorm. Would today be a good day to go outside? No, it wouldn't be a good day to go outside with our kite. But that's kind of reminding us that sometimes we want to tell God what we're going to do and what's going to happen, and it's going to be on our time. And we need to remember that God has plans. God is there with us always, but God has plans. So it might not be on our time. So today during fellowship time, you can create your own kite to take outside and fly. And when you do, I want you to remember that the Holy Spirit is in work in our lives, and that we can stay connected to God through that Spirit. Let's take a little time. Let's say a prayer. Loving and gracious God, we thank you so much for the gift of your Spirit to be with us each and every day. We know that we cannot see you, but we know that you're there. We can feel your presence. We can see your works in the world through the people that you are working with. We are so thankful for the gifts that you give to us, and we know that we have so many of those gifts, and that we sometimes forget how very special they are. We ask that you would help us to share the gifts that you give to us to everyone that we meet. We pray all these things in Jesus' name, and all God's children said, Amen.
Holy Spirit, may our spirits connect with your Spirit. May you speak your truth to us. May we hear your word spoken afresh. May it take root in our hearts, changing us, transforming us, empowering us to glorify you in all that we say and do. Amen. Pentecost Sunday. Pentecost Sunday is often referred to as the birthday of the church, the birthday of the Christian church. That isn't necessarily wrong, but yet, maybe if we talk about it being the birthday of the church, do we in some ways, someplace deep down inside, think about the fact that it was a starting point? In Acts chapter 2, when the Spirit came in, that mighty rushing wind and those what appeared like tongues of fire landed on the disciples, was that the beginning of the church? If so, then we start to fall into that heresy of Marcionism. Marcion was around the 3rd century, and he looked at who God was and said, there's this vengeful, wrathful God of the Old Testament, mean God, and then there's this loving Jesus God of the New Testament, and they can't be the same. So let's forget all about the Old Testament. Everything is all new, and all the Old Testament stuff doesn't matter. I've encountered many Christians who have a deep Christian faith, and that's the heresy that they believe. They really don't care about that Old Testament. Oh, forget about, no, that Old Testament stuff, we don't want to know about it. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. It's just Matthew on. We don't necessarily need to have that dualistic view of God, but yet we also need to think about what we say and what that means. And how do we keep from getting into things that are theologically wrong? As we will be ordaining and installing new elders and deacons in a little bit, as Presbyterians, we have what's called the laying on of hands. It's not just us as Presbyterians. All Christians have that. But we do that for new officers, elders, and deacons that are being ordained. And we have a laying on of hands where we invite anyone who's been ordained as an elder or deacon to come forward and to place their hand on them, and we pray for them. This is biblical. And is it really a problem if we do that when someone's being installed? If no one's being ordained, we believe once ordained, always ordained. So if someone is serving a second term, and they're not being ordained, does it really hurt to lay our hands on them and to pray for them? And not necessarily, but yet maybe that kind of waters down and takes away that power of once ordained, always ordained. So it's not wrong to say it's the birthday of the Christian church, but yet we need to think about what that really means in all its fullness. One of the things that I do is I think about Pentecost Sunday as being the rebirth of the church, where the church is born again. I do that kind of along the lines of Jesus' words. saying, you must be born again. The church needed to be born again. The Holy Spirit had been with God's people. There are time and time again where wind and flame is used throughout Scripture, representing God's presence, the presence of the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the Lord. And yet, here on this Pentecost day, something different happened. Something amazing and powerful. This powerful wind and fire that filled the room and settled on all of these that were gathered. It transformed them. It changed them. They suddenly began to speak in languages that they had not learned. And they were speaking in such a way that people from all over around the known world could understand them. And they said, how do these uneducated people speak our language suddenly? Some tried explaining it away, saying, oh, they're just drunk. I don't know about you, but I've never heard of a single incident where someone had too much alcohol and all of a sudden they're making a lot more sense and speaking in another language that people can understand. Typically, it ends up going the other direction. God poured out the Holy Spirit in a new way, in a way that was promised by Jesus, a way that was promised by David, by the prophet Joel. And Peter realizes this in the midst of all of the uncertainty and the confusion and the chaos. He's like, hey, no, they're not drunk. That doesn't make any sense. This is what the prophet Joel spoke of. This is what David spoke of. This is a fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. It's a rebirth. So it's not necessarily the birth of the church. It's the rebirth. As we go back and start at the beginning of Scripture and go through time and time again, God had a plan for God's people, called him and said, follow me, obey me, do what I tell you to do. And time and time again, we as human beings try doing things our own way. And God rebirthed God's people as they gathered together time and time again and brought them back together in forgiveness and reconciliation and new life. And the same thing happened here in Acts chapter 2. And the power of the Holy Spirit came on them. We're told that there were about 120 believers at this time. We don't know if it's all 120 or just 12, but they're all gathered together and they've been praying for 10 days. Praying for the advocate, this comforter, to come. For them to be able to see God. My guess is they were anticipating something like Moses saw. That suddenly there would be this giant bright light, a cloud, a voice booming from heaven, like when Jesus was baptized, when Jesus met on the mountaintop. And this power comes on them. In our world today, we think about the power of the Holy Spirit. And there are those that fall into that corrupt view of seeing the power of the Holy Spirit as a means to controlling, a means of managing, of manipulating, of having authority. That is not what happened on this day. When we look at the power of the Holy Spirit coming upon them, the real power of the Holy Spirit is seen in their unity, the unity of all the believers gathered together. Acts 2:39 says, this promise is for you, your children, for those who are far away, as many as the Lord our God invites. It's about unity, about drawing God's people together. So rather than focusing on the wind that came in that was so powerful, yes, there was this mighty roaring wind. Rather than focusing on the flames and how they became individual flames, and I've heard people take that off into all sorts of unbiblical tangents that it's about me and God, and yes, I have this individual relationship now. As we look at this, it's an entirely different picture than that. When we hear what Jesus told the disciples in John 14, his final words that night include, "The companion, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything, remind you of everything I told you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I give to you not as the world gives. Do not be troubled or afraid." That is a message our world needs to hear more today than ever before. Do not be troubled. Do not be afraid. Peace. There is peace in this power of the Holy Spirit. It's a peace that in its root word, in the original Greek, talks about being joined together. This gift is about wholeness, about being one in spirit. The words that Jesus used in John 14 are all about connections, very close connections. He talks about his Father, Abba, about being companions. Jesus says, "I'm not going to leave you as orphans, separated." Orphans at that time, like many places in the world today, they're actually a burden on society. They're a negative thing. He says, "No, I'm not going to do that. You are part of my family. We are all one. You're no longer going to be seen as some worthless individual. We together have value." And we're to represent something that's countercultural, something different than what the rest of the world has to offer. The world tries to offer peace. And we know that will never happen. But we have something different to offer. In the midst of the greatest chaos, in the midst of the darkest moments of life, there is a peace that we have, knowing that we are not alone, that we are together, that we have God with us. When we think of that fire that's mentioned in Acts 2, it's the same thing that talks about the fire of God, which transforms everything that it touches throughout Scripture. It's transforming us into the light and likeness of God. We are to be God to those around us, to be Christ's hands and feet, to be the presence of God. We all fail, but that is what we need to strive towards, and it only happens as we gather together in unity. It's been very encouraging in the last few weeks to hear more and more comments as different teams and groups are meeting, asking the question, well, is this really something that we should be signing our name to as deacons or loving team, or is it really First Presbyterian Church? Is it really God's people? That's the work of the Holy Spirit, asking us some deep questions that we continue to wrestle with. The peace given to us by Jesus is an invitation to live together in community. Not lording anything over one another, not trying to climb some social ladder to have more power, prestige, but to support one another, to lift one another up, to love one another, not to change one another, but to pray together, even trusting in the Spirit, praying that maybe our hearts are the ones that need to change in order to be that community. As we consider, what does it mean to be members of this household of ministry, this community of faith? How do we gather together in prayer, patiently waiting, maybe more than 10 days, maybe more than 50 days, but for that purpose of unity, of being that image of God's gathered people, different than the rest of the world? That is the peace of Pentecost. That is here for us. How does it begin? Peter replied, "Change your hearts and lives. Each one of you must be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." May we embrace the powerful peace of Pentecost, so that God may be glorified. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us in this time of prayer and devotion. We are First Presbyterian Church in Fond du Lac. We are Christians serving, learning, and loving. For more information about us, our phone number is 920-922-0425. You can find us on the web at www.fdlpresbyterian.org. We are located at 1225 4th Street and have in-person worship on Sundays at 9 a.m. Staff nursery is available for 3 years and under.